to tonight's CCL training. It's a weekly webinar program of Citizens Climate Lobbies that provides CCL supporters with access to in-depth training opportunities on topics ranging to climate change and effective climate advocacy. I'm your host, Brett Cease, and tonight's topic is going to be focusing on what to do as we finish out 2020. We know that one of CCL's top priorities is to build up public awareness for the solid support for the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act in the public eye, across the political spectrum, and among members of Congress and their staff. So tonight we're going to encourage you to think of ways to be creative and strategic in your outreach to your own community influencers. We're going to help you know how to focus on what's going to be most impactful, and then take those success stories that we're going to learn from tonight and build on those that have already endorsed, having more of a chance to voice their support as champions. To take us through tonight's training, we have the wonderful T. Todd Elvins. Todd is CCL's Action Coordinator, and I'll let him introduce himself in just a little bit and the important work that he is doing on grasstops engagement. It's been an honor to collaborate with him on this training. And we're also going to hear a bunch of CCL voices featured on tonight, from Madison all the way to Illinois, Utah, down along the coast of North Carolina. Bruce, Steffi, Andy, Lauren, and Tom are featured here on this slide, and we're looking forward to learning from their wisdom as well. So if we've done our job well, we're going to have three exciting takeaways. Number one, we're going to highlight why you should reconnect with those endorsers in your community now. Number two, we'll help you determine how to have a public or private statement format, depending on their preference, to speak out to become further champions. And number three, we're going to have the chance to help work with them to make that statement most impactful. And our agenda, straightforward: why now? Why grasstops? Who are we connecting with? Those public and private statement formats and what each of them entails, and how to make sure to best prepare your local endorsers for lobby meetings. With that though, I will pass it to you, Todd. We are so grateful for everyone tuning in, and we'll enjoy a wonderful training tonight. The floor is yours.
Hey, thanks, Brett. It's such an honor to be listed as among the list of all these great speakers on those slides we just looked at. So let's jump in. So why now? Why is this the most important time to work on this? And why grass tops? So we're going to explore these two questions in the section ahead. First, why is this important now? We want the Energy Innovation Act to have highly visible support in every district in every state, so we are in the best possible position in the lame duck session of the current Congress after the election, and in the new Congress in 2021, regardless of the election outcome, and in the minds of all members of Congress. In this best possible position, our goals are to try to get more bill co-sponsors and maybe even Republican co-sponsors during the lame duck session, and to maximize the chance of a bipartisan Senate companion bill during the lame duck session, like we did 2 years ago, and to have lots of Democrat and Republican co-sponsors when the bill is reintroduced in 2021, and for a carbon fee like that in HR 763 to be included in any climate package next year, introduced by either party. So what do we have in our favor right now? We have public concern about climate change is at an all-time high, and Brett will put a link to a recent Yale poll bolstering this into the chat. And we found that communicating with prominent community leaders is actually easier right now with them working from home. And as a quick preview of something we're going to cover later in the socially distanced era, it's actually easier for community leaders to join online meetings. So we'll explore the how-tos of that in just a bit. So why are we focusing on community leaders? Why are we pulling the grass tops lever? Well, grassroots constituent support from all the constituents in the district and state is important too, but prominent community leaders are often trusted messengers to our members of Congress, and they have a lot of clout sometimes. So we're a lot of special attention between now and the end of the year. So this leads us to the next key question, which is, who should we reconnect with? So since time is short between now and the election, we're recommending that you prioritize the people you already have relationships with. people who've already introduced the Energy Innovation Act or carbon fee and dividend or carbon pricing or climate action in general. Okay, now that you've narrowed your focus, here are six ideas for who to reconnect with. One, endorsers on the Energy Innovation Act website on the supporters page who you know. Community leaders who endorse carbon fee and dividend as a policy solution or climate action in general in the past. All local elected officials who voted for a resolution endorsing HR 763, especially those who led the effort to pass it. And the many dozens of state legislators who have endorsed HR 763. And people who have signed the declarations on the Business Climate Leaders website, including the Brewers Declaration, the Winemakers Declaration, the Health Professionals Declarations. Those are all declarations on the Business Climate Leaders website. And local economists who signed the Climate Leadership Council's Economist Statement on Carbon Dividends, and other community leaders and elected officials you already know and work with, including members of your chapter who might be prominent. CCL DC office's prioritization of these six types of community leaders for CCL National Outreach and Partnership Coordinator Taylor Krause's post. Taylor prioritizes state-level legislators, large employers, and Trout Unlimited, followed by economists, local officials, and faith leaders. You know your member of Congress, so your priority order may be different. Prioritize the people you think will be viewed as trusted messengers by your members of Congress. And of course, the best endorser is the one that follows up with their members of Congress themselves and advocates for the bill directly. To get started, download or make a copy of this template email message. Customize a message for each of the community leaders on your list. Send the message as an email and then follow up with that all-important phone call after a few days. If you can't remember who in your community has already signed on or endorsed, let's review where you can find a list of Energy Innovation Act endorsements from your district or state. After an endorser has been validated by CCL's endorsement admin team, and that's a process that can take up to a week to complete, all endorsements submitted at energyinnovationact.org/endorse are listed on the following three places: on the energyinnovationact.org endorsement map, in the district and state endorsement reports that are emailed to CCL group leaders and liaisons every month, and three, in the Grasstops Engagement Tracker, or GIT. This is also where you can look for all of the old carbon fee and dividend and climate action endorsements, which were put there years and years ago. We're often asked, where should I look to see the most prominent endorsements? Those are listed on the supporters page at energyinnovationact.org. And this list is shorter than the lists of endorsers in the other places I just mentioned because it only features the most prominent supporters. So next, let's cover what actions you can encourage your endorsers to take to state their support. We'll explore each of these in the section ahead. Okay, so you've established the key endorsers to encourage to champion their support to Congress. Now let's talk about public and private ways that our community leaders can speak out to voice their support. If your prominent community leader is okay speaking out publicly about their support, encourage them to consider using one of these formats. One, creating a 1 to 2 minute video testimonial to share. For an example of what this can look like, see the recent endorsement video made by Major League Baseball pitcher Brett Suter. Two, they can pen an open letter to the representative and senators that your chapter can share widely and deliver to Congress. Three, writing a post in their own social media that includes the hashtag Price on Pollution. And four, drafting an op-ed either solo or with other community leaders or co-authored with you that you can submit to your area newspapers. And that's not all. Once your community leader has stated their support, you can help amplify the public awareness of that statement. Share it on your group's forum on CCL Community and on the site-wide forums to inspire others with your success. Post their support on your social media and on your Member of Congress's social media. And use their support to generate local letters to the editor submitted to your newspaper. The best statement is one that strongly supports the Energy Innovation Act, but statements that support carbon fee and dividend, a carbon tax, or carbon pricing are also good, in that order.
Yeah, so I'll take a little break here, and this is the first of three vignettes that we're going to profile tonight on really putting what Todd is reviewing in action with profiling some stories from throughout the country. I see a couple of the interviewees here showing up tonight on the call. First and foremost, we'll have the wonderful Andy Pinelli, and he's going to review a lot of the work and success that the Chicago area Catholic outreach efforts have led to, including an overall endorsement letter from the diocese and the archbishop in that area. So Andy's interview takes a little over 5 minutes, and here we go.
My name's Andy Pinelli. I lead the Chicago South Suburbs chapter of Citizens Climate Lobby, and I'm also a member of the Catholic Action Team of Citizens Climate Lobby. About 3 years ago, I started to explore opportunities to get more involved on the faith-based side of the street. We were a couple years into Pope Francis' encyclical Laudato Si, which is all about creation care. And I started up a parish creation care team through an association I had with Catholic Climate Covenant. And they were behind EICDA, and with a little bit of research, I also found that the Catholic bishops had come on board in 2019. They had issued a statement of support for EICDA. So from engaging with our parish and some local parishes, we started to get involved with the Archdiocese of Chicago, which is a group of 320 of parishes. And through them, we were able to network with other creation care teams and green teams at other parishes, and use the Archdiocese as kind of a focal point for coordinating events. So we would try to schedule events around Earth Day, around what we call the Season of Creation, which is primarily the month of September. And we've got the Laudato Si anniversary, and we focus events around that. One of the events that the Archdiocese started to lead was a series of environmental film festivals called the One Earth Film Festival. And what I tried to do there is work with the Archdiocese to put out a letter, which we're going to show you, which talked about EICDA and trying to urge parishioners to get out and call their congressmen and support this legislation that the bishops had given a nod of support to. So we used that at every event that we did, where there was maybe 20 network events that I had initiated or the Archdiocese had initiated with other parishes in the Archdiocese. And every time we did an event, we were doing a commercial for EICDA and sign letters to your congressman. And then, of course, CCL would then take those letters and get them to their congressional representatives. So we always tried to take advantage of that as an opportunity. And from there, I wrote that letter for the Archdiocese and suggested that we hand it out at these events, and then they put it on their letterhead. That was the first kind of milestone event. Now there's this letter that's been perpetually circulating over about a year, year and a half. Now it's time to start pushing the Archbishop of Chicago, which is Cardinal Supich, to try to do an op-ed or try to issue a signed letter. And we'll show you the signed letter that in May, Cardinal Supich signed and that we used. And this was the, these are door openers to get other parishes involved, to get other parishes supporting events. It makes it a lot easier when you've got that level of support from a well-recognized religious figure in the area there. So that's kind of how we made this happen. And my recommendation would be that, you know, you get started, you make some contacts first at the parish level, and then you get more credibility if you're doing something with the parishes and engaging with the parishes, and then jump to the diocese level and try to get those folks involved. To get things going, I would suggest that you reach out to some of the faith-based action teams. It's especially powerful if the faith that you're involved with has issued some kind of statement of support for EICDA. That makes it really easy to leverage. And the Catholic Action Team, there's a Presbyterian Action Team, there's a general faith-based action team, which are good places to start. And they've already got tools that you can use to try to leverage in your locality, things that you can do. In closing, you know, a lot of our faith-based action teams have information on who faith-based, who in those various faiths are congressional representatives, and that can be powerful leverage when you're reaching out to those representatives and you're of the same faith. So I would take advantage of that and connect with those faith-based teams and wish you good luck. We found that this is excellent leverage for us in terms of our activities with CCL.
All right, that was a perfect way of really blending a lot of those stories that Todd was just highlighting again of the public ways of doing outreach.
Wow, Andy's video is amazing about that public statement that the Archbishop made in Chicago. If your prominent community leader would prefer speaking out privately about their support, not in a letter like the Archbishop in Chicago did, there are a lot of options you can explore with them on this front. Consider using one of these statement formats. One, writing a personal letter to their representative and or their senators that you can deliver in a lobby meeting. Scheduling a personal call or a Zoom meeting with the endorser's representative, senator, or staff. Joining you for a pre-planned and pre-rehearsed CCL lobby meeting. And we're going to talk a lot more about that in just a minute. And number four, sending a message to their influential colleagues, introducing them to the Energy Innovation Act and suggesting that they consider voicing their own support for the policy.
Yeah, thanks so much, Todd. I think we'll jump right in with examples of working on the private side of things with really leveraging your connections. And in this case, we're going to zoom into Madison, Wisconsin, and work that was done behind the scenes with state legislators. So I'll let Bruce pick up from there.
Hi there. I'm Bruce Jameson. I'm with Citizens Climate Lobby, obviously. I'm in Madison, Wisconsin, with a chapter here, and I am a liaison to our local congressman. I'm here to talk about a particular endorsement I managed to get, and it's one that many of you could do as well. I simply reached out to a state assembly, my state assembly person, and talked to her about the Energy Innovation Carbon Dividend Act. And she got interested, her aide really got interested, fortunately. And over the next couple of weeks, she came around and actually agreed to endorse our bill 763 and did that online. So that was good. And of course, I relayed that to our congressman, who probably filed it someplace. What really made this effective was the good news about having to do our congressional meetings virtually. Because it was virtual, I was able to include my assembly woman in the conversation. And she happens to be a friend of my congressman, She also happens to be running for state senate and got the endorsement of the congressman. So when she said she supported CCL and endorses our bill, it landed. It really landed. And this congressman is somebody we've been working on for years, and it was really good news to see him sit up and really take notice. I found this was relatively easy to do. When you reach out to your local state assembly representative, this is somebody who doesn't have a lot of constituents. You can almost always get a meeting with them. They're usually dying to talk to somebody. So you can do that. And all you're asking for is their endorsement of the bill and being able to use their name in a conversation with your congressman or senator. The process for reaching out to your state representative, if that's what you choose to do, is to really just get in contact with them. And my process was to simply attend town hall meetings that this person had. I had a bit of an advantage because I'm active politically and she has seen my face many times before. And eventually she got to know me as a CCL person. I just showed up when she showed up, and I was always in the audience and politely talked to her about what I was doing and showed interest in what she was doing. You build a relationship like we do all the time lobbying. That's what we do.
Perfect timing. And again, just real emphasis on those same themes that Todd was outlining with some of those private statements. I'll pass it to you, Todd, for one last section, and then let's actually pause for some Q&A and interaction before we go to our final element tonight.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Brett. So let's talk about a special type of community leader. Members of Congress are community leaders too, and their support can influence other representatives and senators. If your member of Congress is a bill co-sponsor, ask them to talk about why they support HR 763 in an op-ed or on their social media and whenever they speak in public, and ask them to support the bill's reintroduction in 2021 and to invite their colleagues to join them as co-sponsors. For more information, we have a whole training on how to work with existing co-sponsors.
So we've already talked a lot about the idea of ways that people can participate publicly or privately with their member of Congress and influence them with their statements of support. But say you've already got a member that's decided to join you specifically for a lobby meeting. And right now we'll assume that's online, obviously. Let's review the best way then to prepare for their participation and set your team up for success. These pieces of advice are based on best practices that groups that have done this throughout the country have really found to be most effective. And then we're going to hear from one of our own attendees on the line tonight that leveraged this in their own lobby meeting. So having already built up your relationships with your community leader and confirmed their interest in lobbying, here's a few different ways you can incorporate your community leaders into a virtual lobby meeting. Right on the slide, number one, you can have one community leader with you and your lobby team. They can participate as part of the team, usually by telling their story, especially connecting climate change impacts with their business or the service they do for the community or their daily life. You could also replace all of the other team members with a group, a cadre of community leaders, and they could be your team. And you could go in just with them. They could take on all the roles. You can make sure to really have the whole focus of that meeting be about them and their advocacy, whether it's a particular sector, whether it's a group of people, and they're speaking about your community overall and the benefits that face with this action or the costs that face with delayed action. You could also, lastly, think about assisting a group of leaders with their own request to hold a non-CCL virtual meeting. So they're doing this on their own watch. They're doing this outside of kind of the aegis of CCL, but you can still provide technical consultancy outside of that to make sure the meeting is a success. So all of this is a lot easier right now online with these meeting platforms that we have than in person especially. So I'm guessing even after we end the era of social distancing, a lot of the best practices that we're finding are going to be continued, given just how seamless it is for groups that are trying this out. So let's talk real quick too then about lobby prep work. So if you've already got this all set up, depending on, again, which of those pathways you've chosen, here's a couple of other key points. Number one, when you add one or more community members into your meeting, you want to do some extra prep work to make sure that you've actually invited them into knowing the role they're going to play so that there's no surprises or little Easter eggs that show up the day of and catch you off your guard, right? So you want to make sure that they're on the same page with CCL's core values. They agree with the focus of whatever your team really is focused in on the ask. And then you want to start processing early. You want to make sure that you're actually highlighting what you can do long before the actual meeting shows up so that everyone knows how to work together, has that practice ahead of time, and really is on the same page the day of. You want to make sure to manage your time effectively in that prep work, know how you can cut other people off in a polite way and keep the meeting on track, or have cues where you can help signal to each other when to move on. You want to also, again, like we do with all of our lobby prep meeting work, prepare to be adaptive, right? How to handle unexpected developments. There's always an element of unpredictability, a stochastic force going on behind the scenes in our lobby meetings. And so either because the congressional office is surprised or because the conversation takes a different path than we intended, it's especially important right now with lobbying online that we're actually focusing our volunteers to handle the tech difficulties as well. And so that's part of the reason of doing this online practice ahead of time too. As we all know, it's intimidating learning technology and meeting a member of Congress at the same time. And lastly, you want to make sure that you ask some of these key questions with who you're preparing. One, how can you bring the meeting back on track? Number two, how can you bring it back on track if your community leader starts to express concerns about the bill live time? And number three, what if your member of Congress isn't that interested in the message you're bringing to the meeting? How can you still pivot and make the meeting about where they may have interest and you can still work together on climate front? So with that though, enough from me. Let's actually hear from an expert on this topic, the one, the only Steffi Rausch, our co-lead of the engagement team, and I'll let her tell the story of her local work of late.
My name is Steffi Rausch, and I lead the Asheville, North Carolina chapter for CCL, as well as the Grass Tops Engagement Action Team group nationally in seeking endorsements. You know, with all the endorsements that we've gotten, the recent virtual meeting for Lobby Day was a great opportunity to engage our local representatives, to bring them in versus them having to go all the way to Washington to join in. And so we, instead of bringing in the normal local group that we always do into DC, we actually decided this time to reach out to our previous endorsers and or interested conservatives or councilmen, of which we found a conservative councilman who is interested in participating in the meeting. And so it was just a simple ask with him, because he already was interested in possibly helping us with a city council endorsement, but they weren't ready to take that leap. So getting him into this meeting was a good ask, but he wasn't fully on board in voicing his support. He just wanted to participate in the meeting. The fact that one of his best friends was Major General Rick Devereaux, who was also a conservative, who's also been very outspoken and wanted to be an active participant in the meeting, we felt like it was a great marriage and a good pair to have in that meeting. So we could say, hey, we have these two conservatives, one Major General, one a city councilman. Major General Rick Devereaux was the one who did most of the speaking. The city councilman was very gracious and saying at the beginning, introducing himself and saying that he supports what CCL is doing. And that's really as far as he went. But I think it also ended up being a good meeting regardless, because it shows his support and then also lets him see how we CCLers behave in these meetings and how respectful we are. Educating him during the process, him seeing like the statistics we showed of conservative support through the polls, the Luntz poll and other polls, and, you know, going through the question, motivational interviewing skills we learned in that meeting, and him seeing how it all works. And he even made suggestions in the prep meeting of a better way to work things. So I think just in general, the process was very helpful, and hopefully it has motivated him to take further steps in the future of getting a city endorsement and getting further involved in the future. So in that way, we felt it was very impactful. It was the first time we actually had two conservatives in our meeting, and I'm very grateful for that opportunity. So my advice to other groups interested in trying this out, that this was an easy effort to get done, actually. We had someone who's interested, but not, you know, fully wanting to participate. It was easy to ask him to just participate. The impact, I think, was much bigger than we actually think, even though he didn't voice his full support in the meeting and was not active. We still feel like it was a huge impact on the staffer to see the interest by a conservative to participate in that meeting. So I do feel like, you know, this is an effort worth taking on that doesn't actually have to be a huge undertaking. It can be very minimal and still maximize your local success.
Here's to that. What a great, great walkthrough and window into how to really put all that we just reviewed into practice and do it in a strategic and successful way. Thank you for sharing, Steffi.
All right, for our last training tonight that really culminates and puts all of what we've talked about together, let's zoom into our climate leaders in Utah and their creativity. What they did was build on a connection to a local mayor and extended that to neighboring towns, many in rural areas, to bring in a large coalition of conservatives, professors, high school students, and influencers for their member of a Congress, and leverage those connections to create new connections and extend to additional town halls. I'll let the wonderful Tom Moyer and Lauren Barros take it from here. Enjoy the story.
I'm Tom Moyer. I am the state coordinator for Utah for CCL, and I've been liaison to two different legislators, and I have focused a lot in that time on our state legislature in passing what we call the Environmental Stewardship Resolution in the Utah State Legislature.
I'm Lauren Barros, and I'm a co-leader of the Wasatch Back Chapter, and we've had two town halls about climate change. And we decided we'd reach out to the local mayor where we lived in Park City, who's really supportive of CCL, and then also reach out to the mayors of neighboring towns that were not familiar with CCL and see if they were interested. Luckily, they both were, and we got over 100 people to come, and it was a real success. And I thought one of the coolest things was that not only did we get a lot of publicity for it and educate more people about CCL, but during that panel presentation, we got one of the mayors to be asked the question of, well, what are you going to do now to further these discussions between your towns? And this was the mayor who was kind of new to dealing with climate change, and she said, I guess this is the start. I guess we'll start talking now. And it really was a start. The other co-leader and I at that time in the fall went out to Midway, Utah, and met with that mayor and said, how could we do something similar but bring in more people from rural areas and areas that we don't normally touch? And she gave us so many fantastic ideas and connected us with someone in her community in Midway who had been reaching out to her about clean air issues. And he had a medical professional with a lot of health concerns and connected us with him. And he became invaluable in helping us get this set up because he already had a good relationship with that mayor too. Soon after that, Tom and I were invited to go down to Price, Utah, which is a coal community, and go to an economic summit hosted by Representative Curtis. He's one of our congressional representatives. And while there, we met the mayor of Price, Utah, who also worked for a coal company, who was very supportive of changing their economy to make it profitable from something other than coal, because he saw that coal was ending. And Representative Curtis was a big supporter of the Coal Country Strike Team, which is something supported by the Utah government. And they were presenting all these ideas to the county commissioners down there. So we struck up a relationship with him and then asked him if he'd be willing to participate in a future town hall. He said, sure. And then because of COVID, we had to pivot and changed our town hall to be by Zoom, and that actually made it more convenient, I think, for us to be able to get him, which was great. So in the end, our second town hall was the mayor of Price, and we also had the mayor of Heber, who had been in the previous town hall, but was now really interested in carbon dividends. And we had Representative Curtis on this town hall as well. And we had a professor, an air pollution epidemiologist professor from BYU speak. And then we had two college students from BYU moderate, another young conservative carbon.
Yep, from Young Conservatives for Carbon Dividends.
Volunteer help moderate as well. And that Zoom call also got over 100 viewers, which was really great because we did the same thing. We just reached out to all of our contacts, did a press release, asked as many volunteers as were willing to help spread the word. I think really one of the coolest things about that second town hall was that the second town hall ended up having a more conservative tone. In other words, people who were listening to the call said, wait a second, they're not really pushing carbon dividends. They're talking about all kinds of other things. And at the same time, the people on that call really were influenced by Representative Curtis and by the BYU professor. And so at the end of the town hall, the mayor for Price said, I've learned a lot. And it seemed like he learned a lot from Representative Curtis's influence as well. And since that time, we've spoken to other more conservative lawmakers who have said, I listened in on that town hall and I listened to Representative Curtis, and that really impressed me. And it really showed me that the Republican Party needs to move in this direction, that we need to do something about this. And so I thought they were both huge successes.
Yeah. That really stands out to me as well, that even though it wasn't full-throated, we have to get this done now, it's just the effect it has on the people who are more reluctant to hear the message is huge.
Thank you so much, everyone, for these wonderful stories tonight. Thank you, Todd, for your help in leading the charge and putting this together. We hope that you found tonight's training useful and empowering. As always, feel free to email me with any questions or follow-up, and we encourage you to share the stories that you've found in your own local outreach to be most effective. Feel free to go to our CCL community forums. The link is featured here, and we look forward to learning from your own experiences. Stay safe, everyone. Thanks for a wonderful training, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Citizens Climate Lobby's training program. You can tune into more episodes anywhere podcasts are available. Inspired by what you heard today? Join Citizens Climate Lobby to advocate for bipartisan climate solutions. Go to community.citizensclimate.org to find more trainings, resources, your local chapter, national action teams, discussion forums, and more. Be sure to like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Citizens Climate. We also invite all of our listeners to subscribe to our YouTube channel for more inspiration. And together, we are creating the political will for a livable world.